Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by our SewHere.com members. This podcast and our community is mostly funded by the support of listeners like you. If you love the podcast, check out SewHere.com/membership to see how you can keep it in your ears for years to come and get fun stuff to boot.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And, you know, this is going to be a little bit of a weird podcast. And we are going to talk a little bit about...
Times are weird.
Times are weird. We're going to talk about some social distancing, with an S-E-W. And we are going to talk about coronavirus or COVID-19. So if you need a break from this type of content... we're not going to, you know, get into that a whole lot, but if it's triggering to you, maybe
our intention is to be a positive.
Yes, we're trying to,
positive broadcast and not a negative or depressing one.
Well, so we were just speaking about this before we got on mics.
Right.
And, you know, we could have gone either way with this. I feel like we could have just... ignored the whole thing, kind of in our social media.
Right, in this aspect of our lives.
Yes. In this area, because we are, you know, this is not a healthcare professional podcast. We are not that type of authority.
Correct.
We want to be a bright light, you know, a fun place, you know.
Well, we also know how important socializing is. To most people.
Yes. So we're going to try and kind of toe that line and cover some things that have been going on in the sewing world and, you know, maybe give voice to some of your concerns or give you some things to think about. And you can always get at us, through email or on Instagram or in the Facebook group. So, you know, feel free to keep that conversation going.
And I think one of the things we do realize is even the people in our groups.
Yeah.
They're used to going to their sewing store, their sewing dealership and their sewing and getting socialized there also.
Right.
Or, you know, quilting, what do they call them? Quilting?
Guilds.
Guilds. There you go. All those things are what a lot of people are involved in.
But, you know, we have been... cultivating this online community for a while. And I'm glad that we have this.
Right.
I am. I think it shows that there is a place for both things in our lives. Actually, I just listened to the audiobook Digital Minimalism. It's by Cal Newport, and he makes a lot of big recommendations for people, especially for people like me who are on social media a lot.
Uh-huh.
And he recommends prioritizing these in-person relationships. So I was all ready to do that.
And then
everything is shut down. And so it's kind of funny.
Here's what I noticed about myself. Now, I like sewing by myself.
Yeah, me too.
Except you show up all the time anyway. I don't really sew by myself anymore. but I do enjoy sewing by myself a lot.
Yeah.
It was a solitary thing for me as I was growing up, and I liked it.
Right.
Okay. And I was kind of a solitary child, okay? I didn't grow up with, children in the house with me or anything, and I was a latchkey kid and all that. So my sewing has often been somewhat isolated. But going to the gym for me has been very important, yeah, like in this phase of my life.
Uh-huh.
And that's where one of my live people social groups is.
Where you're in person, physical presence, right, people.
You know, and people that I repeatedly see, like I know who's going to be there maybe on Tuesday, or right, I know who's going to be there on Saturday and kind of what's going to go on. And, you know, not only the teachers, but the class members. So when they closed the gym, uh-huh, you know, everybody's like, well, you can do everything at home that you do there. You could. No, I can't. I can't have my friends.
Right.
Now, fortunately, you know, a couple of instructors have stepped up and they're doing kind of the Zoom thing. So you get to talk to those people
and see
them on screen.
That's
and
good.
You're kind of working out together. So it was very important to me.
Right.
That part. Now, sewing alone, I dig.
Sewing alone is fine. But here's the thing. A lot of people out there are like, oh, yes, everything's shut down. I'm going to be at home more. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the time to sew.
Right.
And if I kind of think that this entered my mind. I was like, all right, this will be maybe I'll get a pause on some things and I'll be able to focus on some stuff. But truly, it's kind of taken more work.
Well,
I've got
other things
kids
have piled up on top. And
yeah,
especially families, I think, with small children.
Right.
Man, you're not getting a break from them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think maybe parents should schedule who gets to go in and lock the door and not be with them for a half hour or whatever.
Everybody needs a little alone time.
Right, because, you know, even, you know, that commute to work that you used to dread, well, now it's like, I'm never alone because I don't even get to drive to work by myself or
now,
whatever.
I know that we have some people who, like, they homeschool.
Right.
So maybe in some ways this won't be as much of an adjustment for them.
It might not be, right.
But they probably had something else scheduled where they
get to
socialize.
Well, but they would meet in groups a lot of times for activities with other homeschooled people.
Yeah. And so if you're getting the chance to slow down and sew, you know, hopefully you're able to do that in a healthy way. But let me share just a little personal insight. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be at home. And for some reason, weaving has been like calling my name a little bit. I think it has been this trying to like use less plastic and stuff. And I don't know what. I just like to check out books from the library, you know, whatever. So I thought, I really almost bought a loom. Okay. Bought a rigid head of loom. I was like, I have a lot of knitting supplies. So I did get yarn to knit a sweater. I got some yarn to do some other projects and I was doing them, but like my kids were home and everything. And I thought crafting is an okay coping mechanism as long as you do it in a healthy way. It's not okay if you're knitting on your thing and then you get like super duper angry when someone interrupts you and you have to like fulfill
or
a function.
Their nose on your yarn or something.
Well, or like
whatever.
You need to fulfill a function in your house. So
taking someone to the potty.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can use it as a coping mechanism, but careful if you're trying to use it as like a dissociation mechanism, like maybe I was trying to do for a day or two. So I had to be like, all right, if you can sit there and you can knit or you can sew, you might feel a little more in control than at other times during this, during the pandemic. But you don't get to always fall into that, you know. Sometimes I, you know, at the times when I am feeling – the uncertainty is what's causing the anxiety, I think. And, you know, I think about food and, you know, other things like that and just not having the flexibility or the assuredness. But, you know, when you're sitting there, you can feel good. But careful. Don't lean on it too hard.
Well, I think what I thought about was – We have a lot of things. We have a lot of thread. We have elastic.
Yes.
We have a lot of stockpiling of sewing.
We do.
Stuff.
We
I
do.
Mean, it's just part of our business. So
yes.
I mean, you know, you could come here and think you were in a store if you saw what
right.
we had. But I know there's things that sometimes you went out and had to buy foldover elastic last week.
I did.
Right? So here's I think something that I thought about that might be a good thing to like consider. So if you are thinking about making a project, you know, gather together what you need, and hopefully you have all of that.
Right.
Okay. And even if you do that as a precaution and think you have everything, you know, if you get to a certain point in this project and, oh, no, that's not the right elastic, or I'm 10 inches short, or whatever, I say, be cool, pack it up, put it in, you know, a bag, label it, you know, for later or for right. when I can, and go, well, I've got this much of the project done and I can pick up on it later sometime.
And
you
then there is, this is going to be a little bit of a long tangent coming off of that, right. but as of right now, okay, like the, you know, a couple days before this podcast is published, you know, UPS sent out something that says that they're continuing service,
right.
that apparently it's transmission of the virus is not very likely
That's
through
right.
shipped packages. Mm-hmm. You know, you will use your best judgment
right.
and what you are comfortable with. But ordering from small online stores or from places, I'm
right.
thinking like the Confident Stitch, or from us, hey,
right.
Or there is a Porcelain Supplies. She does bras
mm-hmm.
and lace and things. That's a good way to support that business.
Absolutely.
And also, Amazon recently announced that they would not be receiving shipments to their warehouses of supplies that are not in the
like non-essential
high need.
Things.
Yes.
Right.
So it's not that they are stopping shipment, but
right.
I believe that Porcelain, the reason I bring them up,
mm-hmm.
is they were using Amazon as a fulfillment space.
Right.
So Amazon is
too.
Probably saying, hey, you sell lace.
Right.
We are going to prioritize warehouse space
right.
for other things. So ordering directly from her, from that website, could help support her in a time where
right.
she's not getting those Amazon sales.
Right.
And you could put together your list of, you know, things to order if you know
right.
that
and
you
I,
need
I
them.
Think we all have to make the allowance that maybe that website hasn't got their notification up yet that
yeah.
they're running late or they mm-hmm. don't know if they're going to run out of something. It may, you know, for one thing, maybe this might be someone who's very busy at home now.
Yes.
Who did fine when their kids were going to school and their routine was okay. And all of a sudden, they've been thrown into this sort of, you know, craziness.
Right.
And they have to realign what they're doing. So I think we need patience with everybody. So don't think, oh, I can do this and I'll
get it the next day
well,
or something.
Here's the deal. Everything is different right now.
Right. The other thing that I'm trying to do, and this is a bit of a double-edged sword, I'm trying to count my blessings. I'm not a religious person, so I don't really like the word like blessing because it doesn't really resonate with me. But
you're trying to make sure you remember how fortunate
yes,
you are.
Yes, but also
right.
at the same time, I know other people do this too. You think about how fortunate you are, and you're trying to be grateful, and it automatically makes you feel guilty. Because you think about the people who don't have the things.
Well,
or
then
you
go to the store and there's no potatoes, and all of a sudden you're just so mad about a bag of potatoes. Like, it can just flip you around.
I got mad about something else and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that. But I think about, and we're really fortunate. In the position that we are in, we have a lot of very supportive members, so we really appreciate that from all of you who are, you know, monthly subscribing members of So Here. And anyway, we've got a lot of food. We've got the money to buy extra, you know, some extra food.
I can start eating Mallory's chickens even though they weren't bought for that.
That's right. You know, we just have, you know, we have full freezers. So if you can think about what you're grateful for and that can be nice. And if you do get that sewing time, that's good. So if you do get your sewing time, you know, be kind to yourself while you're sewing.
Right.
If you're trying a new skill. If you are learning, you know, learning something, trying a new project, trying a new pattern, sometimes it's really easy to get frustrated with yourself.
And that was exactly
you know?
One of my other things that I was going to suggest. Instead of a project,
uh-huh.
to maybe hone skills.
Right.
Because you can sit there and just screw up, you know, something over and over and over and
over
again.
Right.
Nobody's there. Hide it. You know, whatever. But I mean, it might be a time to learn, to perfect.
Well, in that book, Digital Minimalism, he was talking about the practice of solitude.
Yeah.
And solitude being when you are by yourself and not getting input from anyone else's mind. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're not practicing solitude. You don't need it all the time, just sometimes. But you know, it's okay to make the mistakes.
Right.
Maybe use this time to cultivate that kindness toward yourself
right.
if you have a problem with that. Like, I mean, I do. I get frustrated. You know, we all can. But don't make it such a high-stakes thing. Try to make it a nice thing for yourself.
Well, you and know? I do think there are people that need that outside, you know, affirmation. Oh, you made a good skirt. You made a good whatever. I don't tend to need that. But,
just put the good view online.
But yeah,
okay?
But we do have a place to do that now, mm-hmm. where you can put it online and people can tell you how great. If somebody says something negative, hide that remark and block them.
Yeah, or tag me and I'll delete.
Yeah, whatever.
Them. Yes,
yes. Well, I'm talking about in general.
I'll take care of it. Yeah, is what I would
say. You know, there is just no reason to be like. Well, and people. I have seen a lot of criticism going on, and we've talked about this too. And there's things that we have opinions on. Be careful how you voice your opinion or your knowledge.
Yeah. And we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and do just that. Hello there, you fabulous sewing machine. Did you know that our podcasts and Facebook group are mostly funded by our fabulous members? We have corporate sponsors, but our individual members are the people who ensure that we can keep producing our quirky, inclusive, sometimes slightly offbeat sewing media.
You can support the sewing media you love starting at $1.50 per month. As you go up the scale, you get perks like a universal wardrobe planner, the So Long and So Happy zine, access to patterns and discounted classes, and even a monthly live broadcast from Mallory and me.
We are so thankful for our past, present, and future members. Any level of membership is helpful toward producing our podcasts, videos, and the time it takes to moderate our growing Facebook community. Go to sewhere.com/membership to check it out.
Sewing out loud. Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Okay, so I wasn't sure we should cover this, but we're going to cover DIY during the coronavirus outbreak. So everybody went out and bought toilet paper. There are lots of explanations.
Except me. And I have a disease that is referred to as the pooping disease.
Right.
Yeah.
So mom has Crohn's disease and makes for lots of bathroom trips. There are lots of explanations for why the toilet paper was bought up. You know, the fact that people thought production would be interrupted.
The thing that's funny about this for me, because I do use a lot of toilet paper sometimes, the thing that was really funny about I thought about it right away.
Right.
I think about it all the time.
Okay? Sure.
I know where every – I keep hitting my microphone, you guys.
Somebody's
going
to email me. It's fine.
I think about pooping a lot, everybody. I know where every bathroom is. I know where the one-holers are because I don't go there because I don't want to have to stand in line. You know, all this. I mean, I know my path through my city and where I can go to the bathroom.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, this is not, like, kind of really new for me. And my first thoughts were, you can wipe with lots of stuff.
If it came down to it,
yeah,
right?
Like, and it doesn't even have to be like a nap. It doesn't have to be a paper product. Like, I've got all that fabric upstairs. I even have some bags of like scraps. Like,
right.
I could go for that, you know, if I had to.
Okay.
Now,
sure.
Honestly, I have been using another method anyway.
Well, right.
Right.
So let's just get into the nitty gritty here. Other people have. Okay, first of all.
Are we going to have, can we, can we label this, what do you call it?
Explicit.
Explicit.
I don't know. We're just talking about bodily function.
I was going to say, let's get into this shitty gritty.
Now it's explicit. Great. Yeah. Okay. So when there are, this is already something that I have researched. Okay. Like way before this. It's online. Okay. So reusable toilet paper, everybody. And there's a euphemism for it, and some people like it, and some people do not like it. Like, they're very strong opinions right. on it. And it's called family cloth,
yeah,
is what they call it. And I'm like, huh, okay. Well,
yeah, I don't like that name very much, but go ahead.
You know, I honestly, yeah. I don't really have a feeling. I don't care.
I don't know.
Okay, so there's the family cloth, but what we feel comfortable with, so what we were talking about, now times could change. Desperate-er times.
I don't know how much we talked about this, really, but go
ahead. This is what
we've talked about it some.
This
yes.
is what I'm comfortable yes. with. So we have toilet paper. We already had, we go to a big box place for toilet paper.
We always buy in bulk anyway, except that I was at the end of my bulk. But anyway.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to do this whole no plastic thing, so I've been reassessing what kind of toilet paper to buy.
Here's the other thing. Some people have been using toilet paper at work, and now they're using it at home full time.
Oh, yes.
Big difference.
Big difference. Yeah. No, very true. Well, I was thinking about that. We've got two little poopers, at my house. So
thank God they're out of diapers. It could be worse.
They just keep eating.
Eating and pooping. Yeah. Right.
Here's what I'm comfortable with. First of all, I want to incorporate some kind of bidet-like apparatus.
Yes.
Into your hygiene routine. Yes. Okay. So I have the... Do they call it a peri bottle?
Uh-huh, perineal.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, they
call it... Perineal lavage is what they call it. Okay. That would be the, I guess, medical term.
Medical term. So yes. I have the pregnancy squirt bottle, or post-childbirth squirt bottle from Jerome, right. or it might be from Zelda. And the kids have been playing with it in the bathtub for years.
That's
okay.
It comes home. Once you're healed, you throw it in the bathtub.
And I put it in the dishwasher. Like, I put all the bath toys in the dishwasher, like, once a week. So... After I, go pee-pee, I'm cool. This is what I'm cool with doing a little lavage, doing a little squirt, and then patting dry
right.
with a reusable cloth.
Right.
I am not cool yet with wiping.
No, you're not that desperate
I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not cool with wiping with poop. Okay. It's like fecal matter, stool, whatever.
We could go do the George Carlin thing. How many names are there for poop?
Yeah, there you go. With cloth right now. Now, have you seen?
Here's what I learned. But, because I'm a butt. So I can have solid waste. Definitely more than one time a day. I can have solid waste more than one time an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I do is I have a bidet system. I'll tell you about mine in a minute.
Oh, this is going to be the best affiliate link we ever share.
You think so? So what? I mean, I use my bidet. So I have done number one and number two.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks.
And I have to, and I cleanse it in a way with water. Uh-huh. Correct. Right. And then I use paper in that instance, but I use so much less.
Yes.
And here's another thing that I will tell you that it preserves. It preserves the
skin
integrity.
Well, no, it's better.
Oh, my gosh.
It's honestly better for you.
This is done in a lot of countries and a lot of religions, actually.
Well, what I wanted to say about this, too, on the Stuff You Should Know podcast, they were talking about bidets as some kind of really luxury item.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying, there's apparently going to be like a water shortage in the world at some time or whatever. They were talking about that. And they said, bidets are going to be the battleground on which the water shortage battle, is fought. And it's like, no, it takes more water to make a roll of toilet paper.
That's right.
Than it does to use
That's
a bidet for the same
right.
amount of time.
Hey,
anyway,
we might be using pond water. But
hey, you never know. But, and just so you know, we're keeping this a little lighthearted. We're definitely not trying to make light of the situation.
But this, I'm telling you, everybody, this works. Here's another way.
Oh, no, people love it.
Here's
you can
another
find
way.
So many
but
people.
Here's another way this works. We have a lagoon system.
Yes.
We are not hooked up to public sewer.
Yeah.
Right? And we had some trouble, didn't we?
Yeah.
With paper products going, you know, through our pipes and clogging them up. And the less paper product you use in those pipes, the better off you are.
No, you're better off all sorts of ways. Now, you can get the bidets that plug into your toilet. When I say plug in, you know.
It's like a toilet seat.
Yes.
It's a bidet toilet seat is what
well,
it is.
Well, not all of them are toilet seats. Some of them are just another
well,
little
yeah, some of them thing. Are like an attachment that goes between your seat and the stool. It's
yeah.
There's okay. all kinds. There's
I,
all kinds.
I have someone in my household where the way their body works, I think that would not be
no,
actually.
He needs a fire hose.
Okay. No, not that.
That person.
No, I think that the bidet that is like attached to the toilet like that would not remain sanitary.
That's how I feel, yeah.
Okay. But there is like a $2,000 toilet seat you can buy where the sprayer retracts and is covered.
And not only that, it has a self-cleaning button.
It cleans itself.
Right, right.
Okay.
And it has a warmer and a heater so you can get hot water.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah. So that's the other reason I like the squirt bottle and the thingy you have, which is like a portable one, is I want some warm water.
So I was having my medical issue. It was devastating, you guys.
Yeah.
I was actually, every time I was going to the bathroom, I was having to take a sitz bath because I was just getting so sore and everything. And I was like, I can't keep like rubbing layers of skin off.
Right.
Right. Or, you know, wiping like this. And you're trying to be careful, but you want to be clean. And if you're not clean, that hurts you too. So I got on, of course, my
the
resource,
internet.
My medical resource, Amazon.
Oh, okay.
And I looked, I knew that they sold bidet type toilet seats.
Right.
I knew that I could, like, and then I'm like, well, this one looks about like what I would want, and it's $200. But then it's only going to go on one toilet.
Yeah.
So no matter where I am, and we actually have quite a few toilets, so no matter where I am, I have to run back to this
toilet,
you know, my toilet, this specific toilet or whatever. And I'm like, and then I started thinking about the perineal lavage, which I had used it at one point in time also. And I was like, there's got to be some. So I, you know, sort of searched perineal lavage. And it, oh my gosh, just it goes on and on. You guys, from a
are there
squirt,
options?
Yes,
there are
yes,
options.
Yes, from you know a $2 option to a $2,000.
Yeah,
option.
right.
So we can meet up. Everybody can meet up where they want to meet up.
So you can gauge your level of comfort, but
incorporating
water into the mix is going to help you use less paper, or you could have the pat dry with the flannel. So okay, if I have pat dry with the flannel thing. I'm going to have a little covered trash can next to my toilet.
Right.
And
something
I'll put
that's
those
covered,
in there.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to put them into water. Okay?
I would not.
Some people do.
I would not.
This is going to, hopefully, after the lavage, it's not like I'm putting a urine-soaked
You're just drying.
Cloth.
You're just drying.
I'm drying something that I don't want to, like, then put on my face or something. And
right.
It's a
you
want to
know that, yes, you want to know what's the hand towel, what's the face towel, and what's the butt towel.
There you go.
Right.
So, also, my husband blows his nose 60 million times a day when he is healthy. And so we were talking about reusable tissue.
Right.
And ZD was a nurse for a long time, everybody.
Well, I still have a license.
Yeah, you're still licensed.
So I could legally practice.
Okay. So that's where we're coming from here.
I was also a medical technologist.
There you go. And you worked in labs.
And I studied microbiology.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So we don't think that a handkerchief used for mucus, you know, like nasal discharge, should be used again. Should be a reusable after... You know, it needs to be washed first.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually also don't believe that it should be used when you're away from your home and can't...
Throw it away.
Right. I do not think you should blow your nose and put something in your pocket.
Right. So that's our... That's what we...
That's our practice.
Okay. So that's our comfort level with
this.
But I was thinking about all this, you know, nose blowing and everything. And I thought, we could have this in a hamper. We have a hamper for this.
Mm-hmm.
Nose blowing, and you said to me, you said mesh bag in a hamper so that you can put them in and you don't have to touch them again,
right.
And you put them in the wash. And I mean, when you have a kid, like if you don't have a kid, and then you have a kid, you're like, oh my God, they're disgusting. You know, there's snot on this shirt.
You used to be disgusting too. I know.
Yeah. We just don't remember it. There's stuff on these, on this clothing, right. You know, and I'm putting it in my wash so that I'm comfortable with that. Okay. Right. I'm comfortable with it on kind of an eco level. And right now this may be a scarcity right. level. And then also on a health level in my own home.
Right.
With this type of thing. So I, you know, we use cloth napkins anyway, you know, after we eat.
Right.
I did read a recommendation.
Now see, we have cloth napkins, but I also keep paper towels and you don't keep paper towels.
We have one emergency roll of paper towels.
See, there's a few things like I use paper towels for, like when the dog pukes.
No, well, we
that
have.
That kind of thing.
We have nasty, nasty rags that could be thrown away.
That could work too. And I do have, I have nasty rags and better rags.
Yes. And we've got rags where
I have rags I'll throw away.
Yeah. Where if that happens, okay, there's a throwaway rag. Right. No, we keep paper towels for nasty, nasty stuff. Yes. Where I think it's a hazard or something like that, for sure.
Biohazard.
I don't have, though, like you have a paper towel roll standy thingy.
I'm having problems
in your
training
kitchen.
Your dad. Okay? Yeah. And I'd much rather have that paper towel thing for him than the fact that he will pick up a dishcloth and wipe things on it that I don't think should ever be on a dishcloth.
Well,
so in that instance, but I only that's only one person in my whole household that does that.
Right. So anyway, you know, you're going to have your level of comfort, but we didn't do that on purpose. That wasn't like a, we're going to get rid of the paper towels. Right. We just started using.
Well, I brought you up on cloth napkins too.
You did.
We always had cloth napkins. We liked them.
I read someone somewhere, they keep a napkin ring for like each member of their family.
Oh, really?
And so they don't wash the napkins after every meal.
Oh, well, I do.
And I do.
I wash my kitchen towels almost after every meal. Like,
yeah, I don't know how.
I mean, let's every day.
Yeah,
like I rarely keep a kitchen towel out more than a day.
Right, man. This could have just been its own like reusable crap podcast. Okay. Now the last thing that we want to cover, and this is an emotionally charged issue. So we want to, you know, definitely say these are our opinions based on the research we have done, and above all.
Well, and some of it does come from my training as a medical personnel.
That's right. So ZD's got like official stuff.
And those opinions change.
Yes.
Okay. They change with time and they can change with situation.
That's right. So keep that in mind. But we do want to cover the issue of homemade masks.
Or may we say any other what they call PPE, which is personal protection equipment.
Okay.
Okay, that's what it's called in the medical field, PPE.
Okay. So, you know, at first, people have made masks for a long time. I mean, I've seen them before, this, you know.
Yeah, especially overseas, there are a lot of people that do this.
I see more, yeah.
It seems to be more common.
Right. But let's talk about the masks. So even the medically... You know, the masks that are manufactured for PPE.
Mm-hmm.
So they're made of a material that will not allow pathogens, viruses, etc., to go through them.
And there are different grades of mask made for different functions.
That's right. Like, you know, I'm a gynecological teaching assistant. So
hey there. Huh? That's nobody knew that, did they?
No, I think maybe I mentioned
it. Oh, did you?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, now that we've talked about poop.
Mallory teaches pelvics, and I poop all the time.
That's right. I teach people how to give pelvic exams on me. I think it's
and other people.
That's right. I think it's important work. That is not, surprisingly, maybe to some people, that is not a sterile exam.
Nope.
It's a clean exam.
That's correct.
Okay? So it's not a sterile environment, but then there are some environments where we do want to be sterile, right?
So, like a glove, the things that people glove with to do dental work,
right?
Your pelvics. Okay, those are only considered clean gloves.
That's right.
They are not sterile.
They're not sterile.
And it's a barrier between you and the other person. So it's supposed to sort of help you and help them.
Right. So just keep that in mind that there are all these words that go around like sterile and clean and they all get used differently. But, you know, for a while there during this outbreak, they were saying don't hoard masks. Mm-hmm. And part of that is they need to be given to the people who really need them, the people who are going to be around sick people a lot.
Right.
Also, once they get wet.
Once they're moist with your breath, literally, like in, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, they are considered to not be
effective. Okay.
In fact, they can even be growth centers, so to speak.
That's right. So if one makes a mask out of quilting cotton, mm-hmm. it is not a fabric that will create a barrier.
Well, and you don't know. I mean, you don't know the denier of the fabric. You don't know, you know, how close it's woven, all the stuff.
It's not been studied in a lab. Right. And then if it does get wet from coughing and things like that.
And breathing. And just breathing. Plain
there you
breathing.
Go.
You breathe out. Part of respiratory, you know, your respiratory system is you breathe out moisture.
Right. It can become a breeding ground.
Right.
Now, I used to feel really strongly and I thought, I'm just going to make some status that's like, you know, don't make masks. And then people said, oh my God, we have no masks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, maybe there is a place for something here. But I have not approved any mask tutorials in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group.
Right.
I feel like it's too large of a group and I cannot monitor the conversation. And this is where real problems, I think, can start, is when people think they know that something's going to work and they haven't been given the right information.
Right.
So if you need a mask or you think people need masks or something like that, you need to check with your local health authority. Don't listen to us. Don't listen to us just say, don't make masks. You know, you need to check with the facilities.
Right.
You know, you need to check with the facilities. Maybe you have to visit. Also, I guess I haven't found the study for this. I'll try and find it. I have heard that wearing the mask can actually increase your likelihood of touching your face.
Yes, because
true?
People adjust them.
Right.
People say it's to keep you from touching your face, but then there's other theories that no, people are always adjusting them.
Especially
and moving them.
Especially if you're not a medical person. Like if you're
right.
in surgery and you're, you know,
right.
in somebody's brain or something, you know, you're really thinking,
right.
I'm not going to touch my face right now.
Right.
But if you're out and about and you're adjusting your mask, so that, because I saw someone
it's
say.
It's also the reason sometimes ORs are so cold, so you don't like get heated up and all the protective equipment.
Mm-hmm. And to keep things
right.
at a low growth and everything. So before making a mask or distributing homemade masks, please do your research and see if it's an appropriate thing.
You need
thing.
To check with, like Mallory said, the local health. You know, you hear a story on TV or whatever, on Facebook. Oh, the local whatever nursing home is running out of masks. Making the mask may not be what they need.
No.
That might need, you know, you need to call them or call the local health and say, what can I do? You could call and say, what can I do? I can sew.
Yeah.
Is there something,
I can do
that I can use this skill for?
Right.
Or what else do you need that I might do? But well-meaning people can actually do detrimental things. It's not, and we have to think differently right now.
That's right.
This is not, you can't take your neighbor a plate of cookies anymore.
Okay. People.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
People are taking, I was just at my last rehearsal for a long time. They've stopped rehearsal for the play I'm in. People brought cookies.
You can't do it. It doesn't mean that like you're passing it on, but then there's this plate of cookies and someone picks up a plate of cookies, and so is their hand cleaned?
I don't know.
Somebody actually accidentally coughs on it. I don't know.
You don't know. You don't know.
You know what it is? The virus is invisible, and that's what really makes it hard.
Yeah.
If it was shiny, bright, and fluorescent, we'd know how we were passing
right.
it along.
So please check and double check. So,
yeah.
And you know, I'll
well,
just,
and don't waste your time when maybe you could be doing something
could
help somebody.
You could do something else.
Right.
You know, maybe a monetary donation to a food pantry
right.
is actually, if that's something you can do, you
absolutely.
Know, that might be more helpful. I do want to say, when I say check and double check, our state representative sent out a
newsletter. Oh, my
newsletter.
Gosh.
And I'm just going to make this
yes,
PSA.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Well, you can say it because she did.
No, it's public. It's public information.
Not only a newsletter. This is a newsletter, I guess, to every Missourian.
Well, everyone on her list. You can unsubscribe.
Okay, how do you get on her? I am not subscribed to her.
Well,
and
good.
I got it.
Oh, well, I don't know.
So I assume somehow she's got a list. Maybe it's because I'm a registered voter. See?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so our state representative sent out an email and a piece of advice.
You say state representative, but she is in the Congress.
Yes.
She's in Washington.
She's a representative from our state. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to make sure it's not local. It's not. She is working in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Yes.
She sent out a newsletter, and one of the pieces of advice that they said they'd received from some Department of Health, and not Health and Human Services, but some other department, they were like, we received this recommendation. And it was like, wash your hands, cough, don't cough on people, stay at home. And then it was like, and mix some bleach into your household cleaners to kill the virus. And do not mix bleach with anything but water. And I'm not sustaining.
Ever in your life.
I immediately called her office in Washington and I left a message and I said, you just emailed out advice that is absolutely dangerous and inaccurate.
No, deadly.
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 Yeah. And
deadly.
I said, I need you to call me back. And I gave my number three times. And I said, you need to follow up with me on this. And I emailed. So if you mix bleach, and there's a handy little chart, we'll put it in the podcast notes. If you mix bleach with an acid, different acids, and it'll create different poisonous fumes. What is it? The chart says, you mix it with vinegar, you get this. You mix it with,
the worst ammonia, you get this. Like ammonia, you get free chlorine gas. That's what they use to kill people with.
Yes.
Okay, that is what that's for. And if it doesn't kill you, it can just harm your lungs and scar them terribly.
Yes. So I thought, I was at home. I checked my email. I'm at home with my children because I kept them home from school the 2 days before school's closed. And someone's telling me to put bleach in my household cleaners.
And you knew better.
And I have my two little...
You knew better.
Yes, and I have my two little kids at home. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if somebody pops some bleach in here? And right. So anyway, I'm just saying that even from someone who a bunch of people elected into office can give you objectively false, unhelpful information.
Yes.
So you're really going to have to do your homework. You need to think about your impact on other people. They did send out a correction.
But it was 5 hours later.
They also said the constituent asked for clarification on how to use bleach.
Just a few minutes ago, it said, hours.
And I asked for clarification. I did not ask for clarification. I said, you need to do this. And I sent links in my email. And if you Google, don't add bleach to things, you're going to find article real quick. I said, I am not making this up. I was very upset. Anyway.
It is upsetting.
I tried to be calm. And right. I was not mean to the person on the phone. I said, I know this is probably a very stressful time for you too, but this is dangerous information they give out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's my little tangent.
Well, we weren't going to get on our soapbox. And
I can get on that soapbox because that had nothing to do with sewing.
That's true.
But we want you all to be safe. Don't mix bleach with anything but water.
Now, we will post ideas or patterns for what we, Perry wipes or something like that, if somebody really wants to do that. I think I can think up my own. I don't have any problem.
Well, and Mary Cleveland, she posted in the group about she's doing family cloth. She's, doing it. And I'm like, all right, girl, go for it.
They're butt wipes at my house.
Yeah. It was on her post that someone was like, oh, I hate that name. And I was like, people feel really strongly about this.
So what I do when I use
branding.
So when I use an astringent on my face, I have a little jar full of basically old T-shirts that I have cut into squares, okay? And I use the astringent on my face. And then I take that little T-shirt square and I put it in a mesh bag. And then, once a week or whatever, that mesh bag just gets thrown in with my towels.
No, you can really.
And they're clean. It's funny. And actually, I can't tell you how much nicer that most of it's cotton knit shirts that I, chopped up or whatever. And guess what? No sewing.
You just
rotary cut these babies.
Yeah.
But it feels so much nicer than, the store-bought cotton pads.
Oh, yeah. And, if you if you do something like that, you can reduce your plastic use, because even if you buy cotton rounds at the store, they're coming in the plastic thing.
Well, and what I was going to say to you when you said like a small trash can, honestly, like something plastic or metal is best as a barrier. And, you know, people avoiding plastic, but that's a one-time plastic.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
That's a reusable plastic.
Right. That's not it's not a one-time plastic.
Oh, my gosh. This store I go to, it's right by Zelda's dance school, and it's called Welcome Home or yeah, something like that. And they sell like bamboo toothbrushes and those stasher bags and everything. And they sell the cutest little compost tins to put on your counter. And I don't need one because we take it right out to the chickens. But I'm like, I wish I needed one of these, you know. And it occurred to me that it could be my pee-pee cloth thing. Buy a really expensive pee-pee cloth thing. Anyway,
but you make it fun. You also do need to think about how you're laundering those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I would not launder my butt wipes with my kitchen.
Wipes.
Well, that
kitchen,
wouldn't be as bad
kitchen.
As to me. I would be. It would bother me more to do it with my kitchen towels.
Yeah. And okay. Those of you who are, you know, into cloth diapering, a lot of people say, "Oh, I was more okay with this after I cloth diapered." You know, adult poops. A little different than the kid.
Well, and again, you use that squirt bottle or however you're going to use that water on the perineal area, it gets rid of a lot of the waste.
Right. It really
so
does.
It's not like you're wiping all the poop off.
Well, and now I'm back to really being helpful to my almost 5-year-old in the bathroom because she'll use what anyone would call too much toilet paper, of course, because she's just
She's learning.
She's 5. Yeah. She's learning, and she's 5, you know. And so I'm back to, you know, helping with that.
Well.
Did we give you some diversion here, everybody?
Well, I have to say about your 5-year-old, when she comes to my house, okay, and she poops at my house. Actually, when she pees. When she goes to the bathroom in my house, she says, "Sugar, I want the butt squirter."
See?
So
the kids are into it.
And I use, you know, cold water out of the tap or sometimes I fill it and leave it, sit it there, you know, and it's full. And I thought initially, well, I'm going to want it warm. Like, I want
it. It wasn't too bad.
I like the cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I like it. It's just fine.
Well, whether you follow any of these recommendations or you think
or
it's
whether
funny,
you take us off your podcast listening list
crazy.
And feel like, how long have we been going?
Only about 43 minutes.
So 43 minutes of your life you cannot get back now.
That's right. Well, I hope, you know, get up and take a walk. Do try to take a break. I mean,
get out in the air.
But take a break from the news for 10 minutes. Even if you're on your phone, I mean, I'm kind of doing an all or nothing thing here. I'm just telling you. In 10 minutes, you can come back to the news and you can look at it, but you might need to give yourself a little mental break.
You know, I'm kind of a news junkie, but here's the one thing I do know is that if I don't listen to the news for a half hour, it changes anyway.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You can, but if you, you know, you need a break. And then I don't think we're going to talk about this a lot again.
A lot or more. And we'll have to wait and see. A lot of things are. Right now, of course, our schools are suspended, and it's like to a certain amount of time. And what they have said is then there'll be a reassessment.
Right.
So there's, you know, this is what we've all got to look forward to is a lot of reassessments.
Yes, we have been catching up on the Zigzag live broadcast. We had some sickness and some crazy stuff happen over the summer and over the past couple of months, and we are almost caught back up. So if you're in the Zigzag group, keep a lookout for those announcements of the Facebook Lives, and then they go on the website. So, and I'm hoping to get all caught up on the zines too. So hopefully you'll have lots of sewing stuff to look at. And, you know, we know we're not... Some of you like to use us to process emotions, and some of you just want to, you know, listen to us talk about
sewing.
Some
of you wonder why the hell we're even doing this.
There you go. But, you know, we hope that you can get a little bit of relief. It is nice to talk to people, and we were just talking in the group about how we're all sewing BFFs. So I hope you got something out of this podcast. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.